Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 6, Text 1. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Ramo vacha pachambanir mukham shetram chandasam sapta dattava havya kavya mritananam jiva sarva rasasya cha. Lord Brahma said, the mouth of the Virat Purush, the universal form of the Lord, is the generating center of the voice, and the controlling deity is fire. His skin and six other layers are the generating centers of the Vedic hymns, and his tongue is the productive center of different foodstuffs and delicacies for offering to the demigods, the forefathers, and the general mass of people. Purport. The opulences of the universal form of the Lord are described herein. It is said that his mouth is the generating center of all kinds of voices, and his controlling deity is the fire demigod. And his skin and other six layers of bodily construction are the representative generating centers of the seven kinds of Vedic hymns, like the Gayatri. Gayatri is the beginning of all Vedic mantras, and is explained in the first volume of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Since the generating centers are the different parts of the universal form of the Lord, and since the form of the Lord is transcendental to the material creation, it is to be understood that the voice, the tongue, the skin, etc. suggest that the Lord, in his transcendental form, is not without them. The material voice, or the energy of taking in foodstuff, is generally originally from the Lord. Such actions are perverted reflections of the original reservoirs. The transcendental situation is not without spiritual variegatedness. In the spiritual world, all the perverted forms of material variegatedness are fully represented in their original spiritual identity. The only difference is that the material activities are contaminated by the three modes of material nature, whereas the potencies in the spiritual world are all but pure because they are engaged in the unalloyed transcendental loving service of the Lord. In the spiritual world, the Lord is the sublime and joy of everything, and the living entities there are engaged in his transcendental loving service without any contamination of the modes of material nature. The activities in the spiritual world are without any of the inebrieties of the material world, but there is no question of impersonal voidness on the spiritual platform as suggested by the impersonalists. Devotional service is defined in the Narada Pancharatra as follows. Sarvo padi vinir muktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha shevanam bhakti uchite. Originally, since all the senses are produced of the Lord's reservoir of senses, the sensual activities in the material world are to be purified by the process of devotional service, and thus the perfection of life can be attained simply by purifying the present position of material activities. And the purifying process begins from the stage of being liberated from the conception of different designations. Every living entity is engaged in some sort of service, either for the self or for the family, or for the society, country, etc. But unfortunately, all such services are rendered due to material attachment. The attachments and the material affinity may be simply changed to the service of the Lord, and thus the treatment of being freed from material attachment begins automatically. The process of liberation is therefore easier through devotional service than by any other methods. From Bhagavad Gita 12.5, it is said that one is subjected to various kinds of tribulations if one is impersonally attached. Klesho dikataratstesham avyakta shrapta chetasam. Om jnana simarandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurangvatam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha vancha kalpataru bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayebhaja Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasade Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Lord Brahma is continuing the description of the universal form. We discussed that in the last chapter. Basically, the concept is that Krishna, by his Shakti, his energies, expands and pervades this whole world. And therefore, this whole world is connected to him. And therefore, one can meditate on this world by meditating on this world in connection with him, by a certain kalpana, by a certain imagination. But it's not exactly imagination either, because the reality of this material world is its connection with God. And by this type of meditation, the conditioned soul becomes purified of his materialistic and impersonal tendencies. I had a personal realization myself when coming to Calcutta after studying creation, the effect that it had on my consciousness, the positive effect it had on my consciousness. I was riding in the car with Ariel, and we were in this taxi, which I can't even describe how a jalopy would be a compliment to this taxi. And we were riding in Calcutta in midday, which is absolutely probably the maddest city in the world or something. And the pollution, James had his charter over his nose. You know, it was just the whole scene. And Ariel mentioned about he could feel that contrast so much after being in the Dham. Also, when he goes to New York City and downtown Brooklyn, you can feel the contrast. But then I felt like actually not that I'm anything special, but I've had this consciousness out because I lived in Vrindavan for 18 years and then I went to New York and downtown Brooklyn I lived after living in Vrindavan. But I had the same realization too, is that, you know, when you really study the Shastra and study this creation, you see Krishna in the material world. You see, you know, you see the people running, you see the modes of material nature. You see Krishna's energy and you become unaffected by it in a way. But you can only have that consciousness when you're preaching. It's hard to like live in the place and not see things separate from Krishna. You know, you have to be aloof from it. When you live in a place, then you start to look for your enjoyment and therefore you start to see things as yours and therefore you don't see Krishna. When you just come to a place and you're aloof and you're preaching, you start to see, you see Krishna. Those are his modes. That's his material energy. So I can saw like the concept of the universal form, which you think, hey, this is not relevant to me. I want to meditate on the gopis. I want to meditate on Vrindavan. What do you do when you're in the city and you're preaching? You have to have this consciousness. And I just saw how practical it was. And I was also appreciating the effect of systematic study of the Shastra in your consciousness. How it purifies it, how it gives the proper vision, how it gives the proper conception. And this is the purpose of Shastra. The purpose of Shastra is to help you see the truth. So you don't get entangled in sense gratification. And this is how we learn, by hearing. Then we apply what we learn in the world, and we tend to see with that vision. And I can see, when you do it enough times, it actually becomes your vision. It's not something that's imposed. I had a little sense of that it's actually become my vision. When I'm in the city, I see the modes of material nature, which are Krishna's modes, which is Krishna's energy. That's what I see. That's the proper vision. So this universal form continues. Now, it's going to continue here in a little bit of another way. And Prabhupada just sums up what we're going to be learning in the first sentence. The opulences of the universal form of the Lord are described herein. He discussed the planets. The planetary system is the body of God. Now he's going to describe the opulences. So here the opulences are mentioned, that they're all coming from God. And therefore God is also not impersonal. Because the variegation we see in this world are ultimately manifest from his form. And it's described, the mouth of the Virat Purush is the generating center. The word for generating center, I like this now, look at the Sanskrit, is kshetra. Field. Where it happens, it's the base. And the skin are the generating center for the Vedic hymns. And his tongue, sarva rasasya, of all the tastes and all the delicacies. They're coming from God's, the tongue of God. And all the food for amritya, for the human beings, for the demigods, the forefathers, ananam, and all sorts of food stuff for sacrifice, everything. It's originally coming from God. Now, in the verse, Prabhupada discusses how we have to change our consciousness. And by changing our consciousness in this way, we get bhakti. He quotes this verse, Sarvopadi vinir muktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevana bhakta uttama. That what sevana bhakta uchite, what bhakti is when you get rid of designations, upadis. Upadis are things that are added to you. Like in India, like if you get an MA, a PhD, these are called upadis. Not in a bad way. It just get the sense, you know, something that's added to yourself. It's called upadis or designations. So these upadis. So bhakti means that you stop thinking in terms of these upadis. Family, society, country, etc. Body, personal identity. Because when you think of those upadis, then you tend to use your senses to satisfy that conception. And there are varieties of that conception, but it's basically one conception, and that's false ego. I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. If you think you're the family, then you'll try to enjoy in that way. If you think you're this, you know, the society, national, whatever it is. So bhakti means to give up the false designation and act according to the true self, which I am a servant of Krishna. And this type of presentation of vision is meant to generate that within one's consciousness. So that one could give up the designation. And that's why when you see Krishna everywhere, then you see yourself as his servant. You see him as God. You see yourself as his servant. And then you purify the senses by engaging in that way. So this is very, very important. And Prabhupada also quotes from Bhagavad Gita 12.5. It's a very famous verse, how it's so difficult. Klesho dikataras tesham. This impersonal conception is very difficult. Very difficult, this impersonal conception. And bhakti, which you just use your senses in the service of God, is very, very easy. I'm very much appreciating now that the study of Bhagavatam for me now is the study of Bhagavad Gita. Because this is how I'm going to revise the Bhagavad Gita now. I want to keep the small Bhagavad Gita with me. So whenever I read, I just go over the verse. And that way, this is the way, after I've already studied the Bhagavad Gita so many times, that I'll get not just the overview, but I'll get these insights, how the verses are and what their significance is. So it's also a pleasure now to bathe in the nectar of the Bhagavad Gita in this way. To me, this is our bath. This is our morning bath, hearing this Krishna Katha. It's so sweet. And the more you do it, the more you study, the more you hear, the more you get into it, the more sweet it becomes, for sure. You can see, you can just keep on unlimitedly going deeper and deeper and deeper. And you know, like, it's like a catchy tune. You know, when someone's really into music and he hears a tune that he likes, you know, he gets pleasure from that tune, even though he's heard it before. So philosophical concepts and philosophical points are like that. They're like catchy tunes. When you hear it again, it gives you so much relish.
Sarva sunam cha vayuscha tannase paramayane ashvinur oshadinam cha prano modha pramodaya.
His two nostrils are the generating centers of our breathing and all other airs. His smelling powers generate the Ashvini Kumar demigods and all kinds of medicinal herbs. And his breathing energy produced different kinds of fragrances.
Rupanam tejasam chakshur divya suryasya chakshani karnau disham chatirtanam shrotram akasha shabdayo.
His eyes are the generating centers of all kinds of forms. And they glitter and illuminate. It also says of all that is illuminated. His eyeballs are like the sun and the heavenly planets. His ears from all sides are receptacles for the Vedic knowledge. And the sense of hearing is the generating center of the sky and all kinds of sound. Very nice. Shrotram, akasha, shabdaya.
Tatkatram vastu sharanam, shobhagasya cha bhajanam. Tvagasya sparshavayosya sarvamedasya chayvahi.
His bodily surface is the breeding ground for the active principle of everything and for all kinds of auspicious opportunities. His skin, like the moving air, is the generating center for all kinds of sense of touch and is the place for the performing of all kinds of sacrifice. So, this is very interesting. Gatram, the word is vastu, sharanam. Sara means the essence. So his bodily surface is the active principle or essence of all substance. Very nice. And also, so bhagasya, of all that gives fortune. So nice. And when we hear this, we just think of God, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. How wonderful is Krishna? How wonderful is Krishna? How wonderful is Krishna?
Roman yudvija jatinam yarva yagyasta sambrita kesha smasru nakanyasya shila loha bra vidyutam.
The hairs on his body are the cause of all vegetation, particularly of those trees which are required as ingredients for sacrifice. The hairs on his head and face are reservoirs for the clouds, and his nails are the breeding ground of electricity, stones, and iron ores.
Bahavo lokapalanam payasha shema karmanam.
The Lord's arms are the productive fields for the great demigods and other leaders of the living entities who protect the general mass. So this is very good. It says, Bahava, the arms, lokapalanam, are the productive fields for the controllers of the world. Lokapala, digpal means protector. Like digpal means the Shivalingas or Digpal, they're protectors of the direction. So Lokapala means the protectors of the planets, the controllers of the planets. So the arms of the Lord are the rulers. The rulers of the world. Their power comes from the God. It's there in God. So his and other leaders of living entities who are Shema, who preserve, Yogesh, who preserve, Karmanam, who preserve, who protect the general mass of people. So this verse is also in the mood of Vibhuti, mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna of kings, I am the monarch. And Prabhupada says it's an important verse, and it's corroborated in the Bhagavad Gita, and in the Bhagavad Gita 10:41-42 is the last verse in the 10th chapter before the universal form is described in the 11th chapter. And it's the basis of the description of the universal form, where Krishna says, by a spark of my splendor, you know, I pervade the whole universe. That's the universal form. Everything is coming, and this is how Krishna pervades the whole universe. Everything is there originally in God. Just as like there's the sun and the heat and light is originally within the sun. So anything that manifests is originally within God. That's a fact. And the point here that's being made is that there are very, very powerful leaders in society. And their business is to protect these citizens. Not to take the innards. The business is to serve, not to exploit oneself. And this is the basis of Krishna consciousness. When you have this realization that things are coming from God, then you use those things in God's service. And if you're Maya, an illusion because of sense gratification, and you don't think things are connected to God, then you use them for yourself, and you increase the false ego. You increase the material consciousness, you increase the karma. You increase the consciousness that brought you into this material world. So especially this is important, because you can see people in the positions of leadership. You tend to use what is given to you by God, which is your vibhuti, your potency, for controlling and enjoying, when it's meant for protecting and giving shelter. So it's all that consciousness. This is God's energy. This is God's power. And what happens? It says, I'll just read how Prabhupada develops this. The same person must know for certain that a living being, however powerful he may be, is neither absolute nor independent. A living being must accept the origin of their specific powers as mentioned in this verse. They act accordingly, then simply by discharging their respective occupational duties, they can achieve the highest perfection of life, namely eternal life, complete knowledge, and inexhaustible blessings. As long as the powerful men of the world do not accept the origin of their respective powers, namely the personality of God, and the actions of Maya illusion will continue to act. See how clearly Srila Prabhupada is bringing out this point? So clearly. How practical it is, and why it's such a good example, especially people who are leaders tend to become bewildered by their powers. The actions of Maya are such that a powerful person, misled by the illusory material energy, wrongly accepts himself as all in all and does not develop God consciousness. I'm having a very amazing experience with this Bhagavad Gita. Since I've been studying, it's amazing. It's just like, I know it's a super soul because I'm saying things and then I'm reading them in the purport. And I know it's not me. I have to say this very frankly. It astounds me. Because it's just being repeated again in the purport. And it wasn't really such a mental analysis of this. It's a different process I can see studying the Bhagavad Gita. It's just a whole different process. And especially, I'm just feeling now so joyous and happy that I know that this is the service that Prabhupada wants me to do. Just so convinced, I feel so satisfied. He wants me to learn the Bhagavatam, speak the Bhagavatam, and help others to get into his books like this. It's such a wonderful meditation. From the very beginning, James, we've experienced that it's beyond the mental and intellectual. Even though we apply our intelligence, it's beyond. It's Krishna manifesting in this Kali Yuga. And it becomes such a relish. The speaker, the hearer, becomes such a relish when we appreciate this message. And then by Prabhupada's mercy, you know, he reveals the message. Look, I'm just appreciating so much how much in Prabhupada's purport here. He has extracted the essence of this concept. So clearly he extracted this essence. What is being said and what's the practical relevance is? In other words, we always try to study the Bhagavatam from the standpoint of what is the message? What is being trying to be communicated by the authors? Prabhupada just extracts that message and he lays it out. As such, the sense of false egoism, namely myself and mine, has become overly prominent in the world, and there is a hard struggle for existent human society. The intelligent class of men, therefore, must admit the Lord as the ultimate source of all energies, and thus pay tribute to the Lord for his good blessings. Simply by accepting the Lord as the supreme proprietor of everything, since he is actually so, one can achieve the highest perfection of life. Whatever a person may be in the estimation of the social orders of things, if a person tries to reciprocate a feeling of love towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is satisfied with the blessings of the Lord, he will at once feel the highest peace of mind for which he is hankering for life after life. Very amazing, Ariel, huh? What is hidden in these purports? This is a treasure house.
Vikramo Bhurbhuvasvascha Kshemasya Charanasya Cha Sarvakama Varasyapi Hares Charana Aspadam.
Thus the forward steps of the Lord are the shelter for the upper, lower, and heavenly planets, as well as for all we need. His lotus feet are protection from all kinds of fear. So Krishna is the protector. He is the shelter of everyone. Very interesting, because Vikrama, right, it says bhu, bhuva, sva. Lower, upper, as well as heaven. So I was thinking also this Vikrama is like Vamana, because Vamana's name is what? Tri Vikra. Vikram means steps and three steps. So here it also says Vikrama Bhu Bhava Swa. His steps, he covers the universe. Covers the universe, the shelter of all, the protection and fearlessness, his lotus feet. Very nice meditating on the lotus feet. Their shelter, their protection. We must seek shelter of Krishna.
Apam viryasya sargasya parjanyasya prajapate kumsa Krishna upastastu prajatyananda nirvate.
From the Lord's genitals originate water, semen, generatives, rains, and procreators. His genitals are the cause of a pleasure that counteracts the distress of begetting. So Prabhupada, in the purport, he describes how much trouble there is and difficulty there is in family life. How much trouble there is in family life. Well, we think back to our families, how much suffering we caused them, and we're just like one part of the whole thing. Even ourselves, how much problem we caused our parents, distress. So Prabhupada said, the genitals and the pleasure of begetting counteract the distress of family. One would cease to generate altogether if there were not, by the grace of the Lord, a coating, a pleasure-giving substance on the surface of the generative organs. The substance gives a pleasure so intense that it counteracts fully the distress of family encumbrances. A person is so captivated by this pleasure-giving substance that he is not satisfied by begetting a single child, but increases the number of children with the great risk in regard to maintaining them simply for this pleasure-giving substance. This pleasure-giving substance is not false, however, because it generates from the transcendental body of the Lord. It's a reality. It has taken on an aspect of pervertedness in contact with the material world. Anyway, sex life is entangling. It absorbs one in the bodily concept of life. The soul is different than the body. But the soul is identifying with the body, and in the illusion that I'm the body, for material enjoyment. So it's the material desire that makes the soul and the body one in one's consciousness. And therefore, sex life absorbs the mind in the concept that I am the body. Because when you're experiencing pleasure, you put the consciousness into the body. And when one performs austerities, he tries to purify him to spiritual life. If you have that spiritual objective and you undergo some inconvenience, the consciousness is abstracted from the body. That's why Tapo Divyam, Yena Kaputta Satvam, Shudye Yasmad Brahman Sopya. Lord Yashavadeva instructs us that Tapo Divyam, Yena Kaputta Satvam, Shudye Yasmad Brahman Sokyam. It's unlimited pleasure to us. Because it frees one from the bodily concept of life. You may have not heard this story, but I practiced austerities in India. When we first came to India, it was unbelievable. You can't imagine what it's like to work full service during the summer in like 125 degree heat and with dealing with children who were also in the heat. And then in the winter, living in the guest house, with no heat and no hot water, ice cold water and no heat. Your whole day is just thinking about your next cold shower. That was so austere. And this is so mad. So I performed so many austerities. But I saw, you know, when you go in the morning, you go in the morning to take this ice cold shower in the morning, right? And it's not even, then you're going into a heated room. It's ice cold shower and it's ice cold outside. I remember the consciousness became so abstracted from the body after 3 years of this. It was so austere. I can't. And then after all day service at 3 o'clock every day to the Jamuna by Harinam procession. Every day for 2 years. Taking all these boys who really want to go. Yeah, after the whole set, take them all the way to the Jamuna. It was ecstatic, though. And then in the Jamuna, cold bath with the wind blowing. And then back. So many austerities were performed. When I came back after 3 years, my father took me to the dentist. And the dentist, at that time, they didn't, you know, put Novocaine or anything. The dentist said, you hold my hand and squeeze when the pain is too much, because they had a cavity. He was drilling and drilling and drilling and looking at my father and drilling and drilling and drilling. And I was just sitting there, you know, abstracted from the whole thing. So I actually saw by those austerities, I became so abstract. And he was like looking at my father and like he's saying, he's just not squeezing my hand. That would be okay. It's from those austerities he became so abstracted from them. And then at the same time, I was in the house with my mother and the central air conditioning went off and she was going to die, you know, because she was so used to, you know, accommodating the senses and comforts. There's so much can be said for this, but I want to stick to the purport.
Payoryamasya mitrasya parimokshasya narada himshaya niratir mityo nirayasya gudam smita.
O Narada, the evacuating outlet of the universal form of the Lord is the abode of the controlling deity of death, Mitra. The evacuating hole and the rectum of the Lord is the place of envy, misfortune, death, and hell. The back of the Lord is the place of all kinds of frustration and ignorance, as well for immorality. Immorality is a dharma. So to turn away from God, to be in his back, the back of God generates a dharma, ignorance, frustration. From his veins flow the great rivers and rivulets, and on his bones are stacked the great mountains. The impersonal feature of the Lord is the abode of great oceans, and his belly is the resting place for the materially annihilated living entities. His heart is the abode of the subtle material bodies of the living beings. Thus it is known by the intelligent class of men. So it says Avyakta, which is the impersonal feature, but Prabhupada also says it means the night of Brahma. So this is actually annihilation is coming from God. And it says his heart is the subtle material body's living being, because in this manifestation of the universe, and then when it goes back, the subtle material bodies of the living entities become unmanifest within the kind of consciousness of God, within the body of God, within his heart. His consciousness represents the abode of the subtle material bodies, living entities. So this belly is the resting place for the materially annihilated living entities. So it's describing that there's a winding up of the material creation. When the material creation winds up, it winds up within the body of God. It's very nice. The heart, the subtle bodies. Because then they become manifest again at the end of the last night. Also, the consciousness of that great personality is the abode of religious principles. Very nice. Mine, yours, and those are the four bachelors, Sanaka, Sanatan, Sanak Kumar, and Sananda. That consciousness is also the abode of truth and transcendental knowledge. So the Atma, the consciousness of God, is the abode of Dharma, Vigyan, Shatva.
Aham bhavan bhavaschaiva tam ime muniyo graja surasur naranagaha kagha migha sarish sarisriva kandarva saraso yaksha raksho bhuta ganoraga pashava pitaro siddha vidyadhra starana dhruma anyecha bibidha jiva jalastala nabokshpasha krahaksha ketavastaras tadita stana yitnava sarvam purusha evedam bhutam bhavyam bhavachchiyat tenedam avritam vishvam vitastim aditishtati.
Beginning from me, Brahma, down to you, aham bhavan, myself, you. From me to you, and Baba, Shiva, all the great demigods who were born before you, the demigods, the demons, the nagas, the human beings, the birds, the beasts, as well as the reptiles, etc., and all phenomenal manifestations of the universes, namely the planets, stars, asteroids, luminaries, lightning, thunder, and the inhabitants of the different planetary systems, namely the Gandharvas, Apsat, apsaras, yakshas, rakshas, bhutanagas, udagas, pashu, pitas, sitas, vidyadharas, chanas, and all other different varieties of living entities, including the birds, beasts, trees, and everything that be, are all covered by the universal form of the Lord at all times, namely past, present, and future, although he is transcendental to all of them, eternally existing in a form not exceeding 9 inches. So the universal form, it's very avritam. Avritam. Avritam vishvam. The universal form. Well, everything is covered by the universal form. Everything is understood in this material world by the universal form. And it's very interesting. This word here is bhutam, whatever is created. Bhavyam, whatever will be created. Bhavat, whatever was created in the past. In all phases of time. Nothing is separate in this world from the universal form. Although he is transcendental to this world at the same time. Although he's existing within the heart in a form not exceeding vitastim, half a cubit, adhitishtati, although he's situated in that, he's pervading everything. By a spark of my splendor, I'm pervading everything. Although he remains transcendental. That's why this chapter is called Purusha Shukta Confirmed, because the Purusha Shukta describes the Lord's universal form and how he's remaining simultaneously different. And therefore Prabhupada said the essence of the Purusha Shukta, the essence of the understanding of the universal form is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy of Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. The Supreme Personality of Godhead by his partial representation, measuring not more than 9 inches its supersoul, expands by his potential energy in the shape of the universal form, which includes everything manifested in different varieties of organic and inorganic material. The manifested universe are therefore not different from the Lord, just as golden ornaments of different shapes and forms are non-different from the original stock reserve of gold. It's not different than him, because it's composed of his energy, everything. In other words, the Lord is the Supreme Person who controls everything within the creation, and still he remains a separate identity, distinct from all manifested material creation. In Bhagavad Gita 9.4.5, he is therefore said to be Yogeshwara. So this nine verses in the beginning of the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, from 9.1 to 9.7, it discusses the Supreme Lord's Achintya Veda Veda Tattva relationship with the material creation. Exactly the theme of those verses. Exactly the theme. That Krishna is pervading everything without defect, but remaining aloof. He's controlling everything, but remaining aloof. He's responsible for everything, but not responsible. He remains aloof. Chintya Veda Veda Tattva. So that's 9.5. Everything rests on the potency of the Lord Sri Krishna, and still the Lord is different from and transcendental to all such identities. In the Vedic Purusha Shukta of the Rig Mantra, this is also confirmed. His philosophical truth of simultaneously one and difference was propounded by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it is known as Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. Brahma, Narada, and all others are simultaneously one and different with the Lord. We're all one with him, just as and one and different. Prabhupada quotes Isha Upanishad, same concept. Om Purnama, Da Purnam, Purnat, Purnam, Udachite, Purnasya Purnam. He's pervading everything, but remaining the same. Chintya Veda Veda, simultaneously one and different. We are all one with him, just as the gold ornaments are one in quality with the gold stock, but the individual gold ornament is never equal in quantity with the stock gold. The fact is inconceivable to our present senses. Lord Chaitanya therefore defined this theory of philosophy as achintya, confirmed in Bhagavad Gita as well as the Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya's theory of the Chintya Veda Veda Tat is the perfect philosophy of the Absolute Truth. So, this is such a nice description. It's meditation on the universal form. And now there's some nice other verses which will describe this transcendental aspect of the Supreme Lord. How he actually is transcendental. And it describes in the next verse, it also will be very interesting. The sun illuminates both internally and externally by expanding its radiation. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of God, by expanding his universal form, maintains everything in the creation, both internally and externally. That's such a nice example. It's like the sun is expanded, but the source of the sunshine is the sun deity named Surya Narayan. But from that, everything else is expanded. He's the basis of that. Prabhupada quotes in the 14:27 in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmano hi patishta hum. Same word, patishta. Same word as this adish in the last verse, aditishtati. I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman. I am the basis of the universal form. That's Krishna's transcendental position.